Kia ora and good morning. Welcome to all who come to celebrate Resurrection Sunday with us at St. Luke's. My name is Dara. I'm John's happy wife. Because I'm happy wife, John has happy life. Praise the Lord! I'm delighted to share the glorious good news. I'm always so far away. Of Easter with you. Jesus is alive. Preparing this sermon has caused me sleepless nights. You know why? Because there's so much good. My mind goes from one good in the Bible to another good, to another good, and to another good. So I have had sleepless nights of good stuff waking me up at 3 a.m., 1 a.m., whatever it is. I said, how about this one? I'm like, ooh. And then it just goes on. And finally, I'm here to deliver the very good news. Today's sharing is me having gone through a lot of goodness because I don't know which one, Lord. They're all so good. And I have very limited time. I like to keep to time. So I have decided to prioritize. We'll start with context. I like that. And then I'll share my main point, sticking to script, not digressing to other great points, and then I'll close with an invitation. So, context. Jesus' resurrection is a continuation of Good Friday, when he died a humiliating criminal's death on the cross. So his death and resurrection are linked. You cannot have one without the other, and they are central to the Christian faith. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, we are to be so pitied, our faith useless, and I would be standing here lying to you. Lying, guys, me, standing here, lying for the next, 10 minutes. The resurrection is recorded in all four Gospels, and each one gives unique details to form a comprehensive picture. And today we read from the Luke's account. It was the first day of the week, symbolic of a new beginning in the Jewish culture. At dawn, a group of women, they brought spices to Jesus' tomb to anoint his body. Mark's account tells us the women on their way asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone?" By their action, we know they were expecting a dead body in a sealed tomb, which they cannot access. However, in an act of devotion, they went anyway. To their astonishment, an open tomb greeted them, and when they entered it, they did not find Jesus' body. And just as they were reeling from that, angels, described as men gleaming like lightning, appeared and said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Jesus is not here. He is risen." The women became the first to encounter the resurrection and the first to bring the good news back to the disciples and others. Women, you have such a unique, special role in the spreading of the good news of the gospel. I have digressed it. Come back. Okay, anyhow. But the women were not believed because their words seemed like nonsense. The other disciples had to run to the tomb to see it for themselves. The miracle of Jesus' resurrection is good news for humanity. It is to be shared widely at every opportunity. And like the women in the passage, believers are tasked to go and tell that Christ is risen, the King is alive. And my main point today is this. Christ's resurrection demonstrates that God is ultimately sovereign. He triumphs over evil and has power over life and death, and he invites people to join him on victory's side. How so? It begins with who Jesus is and what he came to accomplish. The resurrection validates Jesus' claims about who he is and what he came to do. It confirms Jesus as the Son of God and the Savior of humanity. 3 points. To believe in the resurrection of Jesus is to believe in God. Jesus says, "I and the Father are one. Whoever has seen the Son has seen the Father." Jesus is God incarnate. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. If Jesus is God, you can believe his word. You can believe in him. Point two. To believe in the resurrection of Christ is to believe that Jesus, sovereign and sinless, chose to bear the sins of the world. Sin separates people from the holy God. Jesus died in the sinner's place, paid the penalty for sin, and in doing so, he reconciled sinners to God and provided the way for humans to have a new relationship with God. Jesus is the Messiah. Third point. To believe in the resurrection of Christ is to know, and to know is to act, that Christ did not remain dead. Jesus rose from the grave, conquering Satan, sin, and death once and for all. Death has lost its sting. Death is swallowed up in victory. I didn't say that. The Bible did. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die." Believers can be assured that physical death is but a transition into eternal life with Christ. God, who raised Jesus from the dead, will also raise us. God wants to save people from the eternal punishment of sin and be with him on victory's side. Jesus is life. These 3 points, you see, God is for us. God is for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who? No one. Christ is the victory. Christ is victor. And when you are with Christ, you are victorious with Christ. If God, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with Jesus, graciously give us all that we need, all that is good for us? Romans chapter 8, verse 32. I get very excited when I talk about this. How can I not? Why should a sinner like me deserve such good things? Except by the grace of God. So, the resurrection confirms Jesus as Son of God and Savior of humanity. It demonstrates that God is ultimately sovereign. He triumphs over evil. He has power over sin and life and death. And God invites people to join him. Just as the resurrection validates Jesus' identity and mission, it also offers believers new life, your new identity, and purpose, your new mission. I read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God has caused us to be born again to a living hope. When you believe in Christ, you take on a new identity and a new purpose. Believers are no longer held hostage to sin. When we accept Jesus as our Savior, God forgives all our sins, past, present, and future, on account of Jesus. God does not forgive us partially until today, until you trip again. That's it. No more. No. God forgives wholly. Wholly. Unlike the repeated sacrifices of the Old Testament that the priesthood had to do and do and do and repeat and do, Jesus' sacrifice was sufficient for all time, final, complete. It is finished. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10 tells us that. How good! Therefore, in Christ, you, me, we are a new creation. The old has gone, the new is here. You are now God's child, born of God into a living hope. And just as Christ raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, we also live new lives. So good. It's so good, I tell you. Now, I'm coming to the end. The believer is united with Christ in his death and resurrection, implying a complete break from the past life of sin to live a transformed life, victorious over sin, over hopelessness, over death. Just as Christ's resurrection glorifies God and attests to his power, believers are called to live a transformed life that also glorifies only God. The resurrection is not just a historical event to be remembered once a year. I'm not sure what your expectation was today when you came to church. A polite Christian service? Hot cross buns, warm fellowship after service? That's nice. But you see, the resurrection of Christ offers people daily hope, daily assurance, and a daily call to righteous living. God invites you to join him on victory's side. Now, it is the first day of the week, a new day. Today can be a new beginning for you. The stone is rolled away. Jesus is risen. The impossible has been made possible. God exceeds all our expectations, and there are new ones coming. Jesus is the living God. He has sent his life-giving word to you, inviting you to take up his offer of new life. I am the resurrection and the life. Does it sound like nonsense? Come and see the truth for yourself. He is risen. Amen.